Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
And there you go. And hey, as a matter of fact,
now we're in a sticky spot here, aren't we?
We got a lawyer on the show today.
Yeah. Well, first off, we're going to have to establish whether he's a Sam Houston lawyer or a Wall Street three-piece footwear
lawyer. For sure.
Lawyer.
When we get to him, we'll figure that stuff out.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I think we're free and clear on that stuff.
Yeah.
And I have another lawyer over here. It's my cat.
He's shifty. He's shifty.
Anyway, welcome.
He's from Sue 'em, Do 'em, and
there you go. Anyway, welcome to another edition of Emil Franzink's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, Bunker de France over that way. Todd Roberts in Los Angeles.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. And our guest today is going to be Frank Abrams. He's an attorney. And we're going to be talking about a tintype that he's acquired. And it happens to show, or purports to show, Billy the Kid and Pat Garrett together. So we're going to get into that in just a bit, along with your phone calls. We're going to try that, too.
Yes.
And see if that experiment will work. I think it will.
You know, all I can say is if we cannot get people to call in with an opinion about Billy the Kid and the tintypes, we might as well forget about call-ins, because that's that's the kind of stuff that gets folks fired up.
I reckon so. But before we get going on all of this,
I'm already fired up.
You're fired up, but you've got some.
You've got some
stuff there.
Yeah, well, coming at you from Bunker's Bunkhouse, I've got another dose of the good, the bad, and the bovine. Anyhow, just to explain for those folks out there that I haven't gotten tired of hearing me explain it. What I do is I go back 3 days in time from today, which is the 13th, to 3 days into the future, which is the, what is that? That's the
16th.
But they're not.
Ella, shut up.
Gilly.
No, Gilly, shut up.
Anyhow. Gilly. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start out with September 10, 1846. And what happened on that day was that Elias Howe's patent for the sewing machine was granted.
Okay.
That's for all them ladies out that used to had quilting societies and sewed blankets.
Yeah.
Whatever they did, you know. And then on the 11th of September in 1928, Earl Holloman, he was an actor that did a bunch of westerns. I'll just run through a bunch of them real quick, only the good ones. Broken Lance, The Rainmaker, Last Train from Gun Hill, Hotel Deep Ree. Well, I take that back about the good ones. That was a kind of silly.
He also did a bunch of police programs, too.
Oh, that was good. Yeah. But Hotel Deep Ree, he was a gunfighter that inherited a hotel with a gal from the East.
Okay.
And his hat band was full of mirrors, and he would blind the guys when they'd go up for a gunfight.
Yeah, I believe that one.
And then he did another TV thing, Wide Country, which was supposed to be a rodeo show, but it was kind of Route 66, poor boy.
Okay.
And then, of course, the Sons of the Katy Elder. Now, on the 12th of September, 19, and I don't know the date, I forgot to write it down, William Boyd, best known as Hopalong Cassidy, passed away. We should have a moment of silence for Hoppy. Thank you. Now, on this day, but in 1609, Henry Hudson reached the river that is now named after him, the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm.
What innovation to name a river after a guy.
You know, yeah.
And on September 14th, 1763, Seneca warriors defeated another Indian force at the Great Battle of Devil's Hole in the Pontiac Wars. And I will tell you this, that's an interesting period and an interesting event, so you might want to look it up someday. Mm-hmm.
That's the Pontiac Wars. Is
the
that
Pontiac
correct?
Wars.
Not the
Lincoln or Chevy Wars.
Okay, so they were not going against the Chevrolets.
They were not going against the Chevrolets. On the 15th of September in 1653,
yeah,
we had the Peach War.
Hey!
That's a goodie. The Peach War was a one-day occupation of New Amsterdam by over 100 Monusky Indians, and they killed 43 colonials and captured 100, over 100 women and children. And then we'll move on to a more happier event in 1620 on the 16th. The English colonists set sail to America on the Mayflower. So I guess you could call that Mayflower Day.
I reckon you could.
I guess you could. And then we'll, that, and I'll finish it up with that because I think I trashed enough history for one show.
All right, let's get to our guest, and his name is Frank Abrams. He's an attorney. We'll excuse him, I think, for that. and
are you now or have you ever been an attorney?
What member of the bar are you?
Well, that's a question for Todd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely so. Anyway, Frank, welcome to the program. We're going to be talking about the discovery you've made with this tintype purporting to be Billy the Kid and Pat Garrett together. And talk some history about that stuff. Todd Roberts, you want to get in there and just plain old introduce our guest the way you usually do?
Only you can do?
Yeah.
Well, you know, once in a while, as my father used to say, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. And, you know, I was...
And you're the nut.
I was going around through my social media, and I came across Frank a little blurb on Frank Abrams, and he had this tintype of Billy the Kid, so I went looking through it to see which tintype it was, and it was one that I had never seen before, and then I reached out to him, and we chatted, and I was like, wow, this guy has got something very interesting and unique, and... maybe he can dispel some rumors and create some new ones. So he's not somebody that is afraid of controversy and or has a lack of perseverance. So that's how he's gotten as far as he has with this thing, and here we are. So, yeah. Frank, welcome to the show.
What a pleasure and what an honor to be on your great show. Yeah.
We appreciate that.
You just won us over.
Check is in the mail.
Check is in the mail. Good.
You
I'm
can do no wrong
it.
Now. We've got it on tape.
That's the retainer there.
There you go. Well, if you'd like, I'd love to tell you a little bit about me and a little bit about this story.
Yes, please do. You are an attorney. What sorts of law do you practice?
For 38 years, I have been a federal and state criminal defense attorney.
Okay.
Hear me. This is important. People's lives depend on what I do. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have cases that have, you know, been all over the news for one reason or another. I was on court TV defending the stalker of Martina Hingis years back, mm-hmm. and I had the case, and I've been, half my career was in South Florida, where I ran for judge out there, ended up in North Carolina, where I still practice federal and state criminal defense. Mm-hmm. So when I say people's lives depend on me, what I mean is this. Many times, I have sat countless times looking at discovery videos to see if it isn't perhaps my client robbing the 7-Eleven. You follow what I'm saying?
I want you
to understand how important it is that I use my ability to recognize what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, stop there. So my hobby, my whole life since I've been a teenager, well, not my whole life, but since I've been a teenager, has been photography and cameras. Okay. In fact, I started a site that's still there. I'm the key administrator of the old and rare camera collector page. I shoot film photography, and my interest has always been in photography. We've got about 28,500 people on that particular site, mm-hmm. and other administrators who helped me out. So I look for old photos and photographs, and particularly since I was in North Carolina, one of my interests is old tintype photographs. And occasionally, you can come across Civil War photographs here, and occasionally, and then you wonder whether it's a northern soldier or a southern soldier or who it is. But I hit flea markets and I hit antique stores. Now, I want to also clarify something. There was more than one picture when I bought the Billy picture. There was five pictures, and they're all connected. At least three of them are intimately connected. So let me explain. So I'm walking through the flea market, 2011. Now, remember, I spent most of my life in South Florida. So I wasn't somebody. I knew, of course, of Billy the Kid and the famous DU picture. I think it's called Dedrick Upham picture. And I knew of that. And I'm walking around, and there is a couple people. There are a man and a woman. It's a cold day, 2011. And they've got some tintype photographs. And I said, well, where are these from? And they said, well, they're from the famous Root Estate. I said, Elihu Root, and they shrugged their shoulders. I remembered that. But I looked at cowboys. That's interesting. What was interesting about cowboys is you don't generally encounter them in the West. Now, hear me, and hear me real carefully. If they had said, well, there's a photo of Billy the Kid and Pat Garrett there, I'd have said, thank you. But I'm looking for Elvis Presley and his cast. Okay.
And tintypes of Elvis Presley are hard to find.
So this, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mama didn't raise an idiot. Okay? 38 years, I'm an AV-rated, top-rated criminal defense attorney. I collect cameras. I have a patent on a banjo. And I had written a book before, and now I've written another one that's a bestseller. So I'm not an idiot. But I am somebody, of course, who has curiosity. Sure. Cowboys. But I was only mildly curious, but I needed some photos to decorate a room we had. We were renting out a room in a house, an air bed and breakfast that we were in. And there was another picture of a lady in a fine dress and a guy in a Lincoln top hat. And then there were couple more pictures I saw, a guy on a horse and a girl on a safety bicycle. I bought the first three, walked around, and then I bought the next two. I know I paid about $10 for the first three, the cowboys. I put them on my wall, those five pictures, and they sat there. And people would come by and say, wow, those are neat. And they'd say, I wonder who's in those pictures. My friend Alan Onderdonk, who is a computer guy, who I think he was accepted to MIT or somewhere, he came by and said, you know what? I kind of recognize people in that. Is that Billy the Kid? And I chuckled. And that was 2014. But, you know, who knew who was in the picture? So we moved back to our other house we owned, and I put the pictures on a wall. Okay, and it all becomes important. Guy finds a picture purportedly of Billy the Kid playing croquet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now the picture's right next to me in my bed. I Google Billy the Kid. I look at Pat Garrett. I look at the picture. I say to my wife, that's Pat Garrett on the end. The guy who killed Billy the Kid. Okay. She said, who? And I said, who's this guy with the Adam's apple? And the cardigan sweater, and the goofy grin, who's probably about 10 years younger than the rest of them. Okay? I said, well, I better do something. I send the picture to the Billy the Kid Museum in Fort Sumner. Tim Sweet immediately responds. He says, that's Pat Garrett, and I think that might be Billy the Kid in your picture, and I'm not sure who the others are. Okay? So, being a lawyer, I said, well, I'd better find some academics. All right? Now, this is the key. Bob Stahl, Dr. Bob Stahl, emeritus, University of Arizona, was listed as one of the key experts on Billy the Kid. So I call him on the phone, and I say, I think I've got a picture that might have Billy the Kid. And he's like, well, I hear that a lot, you know? And it's like, yeah, sure. And he said, but I got a problem. He said,
I'm not in Arizona. I'm going to be, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, where my wife's being treated at a hospital. I said, I'll be there tomorrow. Remember, I'm in Asheville. Mm-hmm. I get in my car. I head there. Okay? Hear me real carefully. It was like this. This is Bob, and I'm going to quote him. Let's see that picture of Billy the... Then he looks at it, and his mouth drops open. And he says, where could that picture have been taken? Okay? And we looked at the other pictures that I had. Okay? Well, the guy on the horse, he says, I think that's Ash Upson. And it is Ash Upson. When Garrett had killed Billy, Garrett was his friend, and Garrett even, it's written all over, he was called a liar and a coward and someone who killed his best friend for money. So he went to his journalist friend, Ash Upson, and said, help me write a book. Help me write a book that explains who Billy was and that I'm a hero. Ash says, sure. The name of that book is The Authentic Life of Billy the Kid, the Noted Desperado of the Southwest. Anyway, Ash Upson, the guy who wrote that book, is one of my other 10 types. Hmm. And then we start to identify the people in the 10 types. And hear me, and this is for all people who are listening. I did not call the press. I did not notify the press. Bob Stahl, Professor Emeritus, University of Arizona, called the press everywhere because he was certain who was in that mm-hmm. picture. Mm-hmm. Okay? I take a trip. News follows me to Fort Sumner. I meet with Tim Sweet, okay, at the museum. He says, I've been around pictures of Pat Garrett my whole life. He says, and I spoke with him recently, and we, you know, discussed it. He said, I've been with Pat. He said, that is Pat Garrett. Me and my parents know that that is Pat Garrett. He says, we think that's Billy the Kid. And then the idea of who the other people were became clearer as time went by. Okay, so I show up at the archives over in New Mexico, first in Santa Fe. And they look at the picture. There's a lady and a man there. And the first words out of her mouth, I wonder where that picture was taken. Okay. It isn't, is it Billy the Kid and Pat Garrett? It's, I wonder where that picture was taken. So I traveled more, met more people, got the same response. And some of them privately said, of course it's them, you know. Tim Sweet said, you know, it's going to be a war because there's supposed to be only one picture of Billy the Kid. But I won't get into that because every expert that has looked at the picture has stated the same, that it is Billy. And every expert who has seen the picture, held the tin type or seen it, has come to the same conclusion. I took 8 trips across the country because I had to figure out who was in the tintypes. I went to California. I met with Will Dunaway, the late Will Dunaway, and Bob has passed to, and Bill did a report. He said, not only do I think, Frank, that it's Billy and Garrett in your picture, he said, it's the same photographer who did the famous Billy picture. He said, I've seen the famous Billy picture, which he said has turned black now over time. I guess too many photographs of it, which is why my picture sits in a safe deposit box. Out of the light and my pictures. And so he says it's the same size exactly. It's a quarter of a plate or a 1/6 of a plate, as he said. They cut out 4 from a plate, from a large plate of a photographic plate, probably a 5x7, he said. Mm-hmm. Same camera, he says. But he says, look at your picture. Back before the days of flash photography, they had to spread the light. You know, there's a curtain in the Billy the Kid picture mm-hmm. on one side. He said it's to reflect the light. It's an amateur thing, he said, because most good photographers would have kept that curtain out of the picture. Guess what? You got the same curtain in your picture. It's on the other side, he said. Same amateur photographer, same exact size picture. And he wrote his report. He said, it's Billy and Garrett in the picture. Later, we determined that on the end holding a gun is Dave Rudabaugh, and he was a killer. He came from Dodge City, and this guy was an actual train robber, stagecoach robber. Billy wasn't. Billy was more of a cattle rustler. And then Billy, of course, was involved in the Lincoln County War. But what it is, and I've read probably 100 books, and all of the Maurice Fulton papers. Me and my brother, who's a retired professor of journalism, have gone through all of the Maurice Fulton papers. We spent hundreds of hours of research. So on the end, holding the gun is Dave Rudabaugh, was part of Billy's gang. And I'm going to try to explain when the picture, when at least Bob Stahl thought the picture was, there's three options of when the picture was taken. But anyway, before I get into that, Will Dunaway came up with the report. Then there's the great controversy about facial recognition, you know, and the same facial recognition guy, Ken Gibson, he came up, he said it's all positive. But I guess the best way to say it is another expert said, facial recognition is controversial, but Frank, you can see who's in your picture. And I met with Dr. Paul Hutton. Who's a professor emeritus? State historian at the time for New Mexico. And I recently recommunicated with him because I'm writing a book. And he goes, Frank, the similarity to the young Pat Garrett is striking. He said, and as far as Billy is concerned, you know, I'm more than intrigued. And he had used, you know, didn't want me to quote him, so I won't say it. But it was basically, you can fill in the blank. It was basically like this: even a blank can see that Pat Garrett is in your picture. Hmm. Okay, you fill in.
All right, Frank, we need to interrupt and do our first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Fascinating stuff, and we're going to find out more about that as we come back, when we come back, and open up the phones and see if you folks want to talk about it too. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
A hat may cover an ugly map, kid, but a whole state couldn't cover a reputation like yours.
Someday you won't be able to hear about my reputation.
This is the Voices of the West.
Western skies are heavy as I ride along the grade.
Nothing like a little bit of Jimmy Wakely there, huh? Welcome back, Gable Francis, Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France. Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Our guest is Frank Abrams, an attorney. He's a writer as well and photo enthusiast. He has a picture of a tintype purported to be Billy the Kid, Mr. the Kid. And I take that from the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yes, and this is really absorbing stuff, and I want to get back to Fred talking about his discovery and the journey.
Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead and do that, Fred, and then we're going to open up the phones.
Well, you heard about Mr. the Kid? Guess what? There's writing on these tin types, and Billy wasn't called Billy the Kid. He was called the Kid, okay? So when Jim Brake of the Billy the Kid webpage first said, I think I see writing, and then we started to look at this writing, and there's ash scratched on the back of the ash, Upson tin type, on the edge, above Dave Rudabaugh is Dave Rudabaugh, on Billy is Billy and the Kid. Okay, went to Bob Stahl, because I went to a writing expert, and he said, yep, it's there, he saw it, Kurt Baggett, and he said, and on Garrett's lapel, a very small, says Pat Garrett. And on the back, it's got writing, including Pat Garrett's name, you can see on the back of the key pin type. So, but remember, it made the news before anybody saw writing. Mm-hmm. Why did it make the news? Because, like anyone say, anyone could see who was in that picture.
Follow?
So even before that writing, so people make who, like, oh, well, anyone can write on a tin type. Well, that's true. Anyone can write on it. This is all old writing. This isn't new writing. And the writing ash is scratched into the tintype. Mm-hmm. So you can see the age from the oxidation mm-hmm. back there. You follow? So on Billy is, and it's hard to see, but you can see it. It's Billy and the Kid. And I said to Dr. Stahl, I said, why would it be separate? He said, Frank, because he wasn't known as Billy the Kid. He was known as Billy and he was known as the Kid. So it's exactly the way it's supposed to
okay.
be. Okay. One of the other tin, the Ash Upson tin type, is there's also the one of the lady in the fine dress is his niece, Florence Muzzy, and he's to communicate with his niece. So there's a good guess these tin types were probably at one time owned by Ash Upson. More than likely owned by Ash Upson. Now, comes to the question, where were they taken? All right, and I'm gonna do this quick.
All right.
Okay. Three options. There's a word that appears to be wedding on it. Could be a wedding. Maybe Barney Mason's wedding. We don't know. There's a date, though, that appears to be 8280. And here's another option. The other option is that it may have been when Garrett supposedly talked to Billy and said, go down to Mexico, Billy and his gang, and go down to Mexico and just lay low. Things will get better, and he didn't listen, and you see Garrett doesn't look happy in the picture. Another possible option, but Dr. Stahl didn't think it was probably the case, was the same people were there at Stinking Springs. Mason's there. Rudabaugh is there. Billy is there. Garrett's there. And there's a guy in the shadows we haven't been able to identify next to Garrett. Could it be Wilson? We don't know. It was probably the same people, but they probably wouldn't have given them a gun or let them be that free at after their capture at Stinking Springs. A lot of people wanted to get after him, especially Rudabaugh. The crowd was angry at Rudabaugh. Mm-hmm. So it could be a wedding, or it could have been when Garrett Stahl was in favor. There's a book by Forrester, the Tragic Days of Billy the Kid, and a guy named John Meadows says Garrett told him a bunch of times that he tried to talk Billy and his gang to go down into Mexico. So it could have been then, all right? But it's one of those times, and it's clearly them. Not, you can see it. I mean, you can see it. And like Will Dunaway said, same photographer, he said, it's Billy, he said in his report. So many people, anyone who's seen it, and all the experts, people who don't see it, they're like, well, it can't be. There's only supposed to be one picture of Billy the Kid. You know? But once again, Mama didn't raise an idiot, and Dr. Stahl had written an article, and you know, and if you Google it, you'll say, "Is this?" It'll say, "Yes." All the experts say it is, and you know, it's you know, all the world goes like this. Well, you know, I know more than the experts know, but you know what? I go with the experts.
Yeah,
I go with the real experts. You know, it's just what I do.
Only an expert knows. Yeah. All right, we're going to open up our phone line here. 520-487-1877. If you want to get involved here, talk with Frank Abrams. 520-487-1877. If you're calling on a cell phone, it's free, of course. If you're calling on a landline, I can't help you.
That's your problem. If you want, I can call in.
Not my problem.
That might be the only way I get on the show.
It might. You know, it could be, Bunker. 520-487-1877 is the phone number. If you would like to get involved in this particular program, and if not, well,
you know, Fred, okay. I want to give you a little background on myself. I grew up in Ruidoso, New Mexico, which is in the heart of Lincoln County, and every kid over there grew up with the story and the history. I knew people that knew people, and I also knew people. There was an old man there that supposedly was the kid that held the horse when he escaped from Lincoln. All the kids used to follow him around. But one of the things I always found interesting is how people addressed his name. And as near as I can tell from all of the natives, all the people going back, during that period he was addressed as Antrim or Kid Antrim or Billy Antrim, but or Henry Antrim, but he was never addressed as Bill Bonney or any of the other names that they're placed on him. And I've always find that interesting that everybody stays away from the Antrim name, and I can't figure out why.
Hmm. Yeah. That was his stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
And he did go by that name. You know, his stepfather kind of disowned him. He went out, you know, to make his own fortune after Billy's mother died. And then Billy was sort of on his own in Silver City and got himself into all sorts of trouble. But, you know, I could go on that. Mm-hmm. But another podcast, I guess.
We did a couple of years back when the croquet photo came out. We did two shows on that. And the other thing, too, about the Hispanic community over there, which that was the majority of the people in Lincoln County at that time. He was Chavito, the kid. That's what they called him. They didn't call him by any other name. He was Chavito, and he was extremely popular among that community.
Yeah. You know, and part of this book I'm writing has to do with the fact, you know, it's my tin type and everything, and they were together, and that they were all friends. And they, you know, they got Garrett to go after Billy because no one was going to be able to get close to Billy. I think Billy's big problem is he ticked off more than a few people through his cattle rustling activities in the end, but he was supposed to be pardoned. In fact, Lew Wallace, who was busy writing his own book, Ben Hur, met with, which is a book about forgiveness and redemption and forgiveness. I forgot about the word forgiveness, I guess, after the cattle people complained enough, because he had told Billy that he was going to have a quote-unquote pardon in his pocket if he talked about the Lincoln County War. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to remember when I started this journey in 2000, well, I bought the photo in 2011, late 2015, I found, you know, we figured out who was in there. And since then, I read hundreds of books and all the Fulton papers. I know as much as anybody, and I'm writing my book. But, it was a journey. It was a journey. Yeah.
You know, one of the things I hope that you cover in your book is the Santa Fe Ring, which Mr. Wallace
right.
was involved with, and
right.
Billy and the regulators and that whole Chisholm group, they were not involved with the Santa Fe Ring, and
that's right.
that was the mafia of the day in the West. In fact, they reached
right.
all the way into the shootout at the OK Corral.
Yep,
that's right. Yeah, Katrin and Ryan, was it Reinerson, I believe? Katrin, Reinerson, they all controlled the politics there. And Katrin and Dolan
Murphy,
I think they had cattle. Dolan had cattle mortgaged to Katrin, and these were the U.S. attorneys, and they were the ones who decided pretty much what was going to happen. You know, there was a recent book by Matthews. He wrote a good book that discusses some of this. That Wallace may not even had the power really to pardon Billy, you know, at the time. I don't, you know actually if that's true, but I know that whatever they overrode any decision and decided to prosecute Billy for the killing of Sheriff Brady, mm-hmm. and also he was also indicted for Buckshot Roberts' killing as well.
That's
so.
Yeah,
that is an interesting. It is that guy.
Okay.
That's another subject.
It is, yeah. And we got to do our. We're way over on our next break coming up
we're
here.
Doing good.
I know. Here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, Frank Abrams, our guest. Be back.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ole Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Come right in, gents, and check your guns.
You checked your guns here.
Not my guns.
Well, we can't make any exceptions, boys. Two gunmen are too valuable to kill each other off.
I'm hungry, Joe. It's all right. Everybody else has checked.
Well, you can do it, Blackie, but I'll get my groceries elsewhere. I never heard of a gent starving to death in a settlement, but I know plenty of parties has died from a bad case of empty holster.
This is the Voices of the West.
We are are back on Emil Francie's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France. Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Our guest, Frank Abrams, attorney. And he has a tintype said to be of Billy the Kid. Todd Roberts, get in there. You've been quite quiet.
Quiet.
Well, uncharacteristic. Why get in the way of the gentleman who's educating all of us? But, Frank, you know, you're walking through this tintype. You've told the story, but... And you bought it because you thought it was interesting and they were cowboys and so forth. But, you know, did you ever think to yourself at other times when you've gone through other flea markets and you've walked around, I'm looking for another Billy the Kid tintype, or I'm looking for a Wyatt Earp tintype. I'm going to find another one. Or do you just say to yourself, I've been really lucky and I'll stick with that?
You know, I'd settle for finding the people who sold me this tintype. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I have been back to the same flea market at least 100 times, more than 100. And they have disappeared. It's sort of like they came down out of the sky and they said, you know what? We're going to give you something, sell you something that we think you're supposed to have. You know, I have these discussions like, you know, maybe Billy needed me as his defense attorney. Maybe I'm the one. Maybe I'm the one.
Hey, he could have used you at Mesilla, that's for sure.
I love it.
He could have, at Mesilla, he could have used me. Maybe I'm the one who has been meant to clear his name in some strange way.
Well, they saw some strange things in the sky that day.
Yeah. Let me tell you, strange things. And you know, the other part is, you know, it's funny you didn't ask me how much it's worth, and I don't really care what it's worth. I never set out to make one. You know what? It's really fun. I'm a lawyer, for God's sakes. You know what? I'm doing all right for myself. You know, and people say, well, he's hunting for money. You know, it's not like, Mama, we got to sell this. Man, we got to sell the coat or the picture. We're not going to be able to, you know, it's never been like that.
Fred.
Okay. You know, there was another picture someone found before me. I'm not going to discuss it, but the one that made the news. And they're like saying, well, it's worth X million dollars and he's going to be able to retire. It has never been that way. Fred, I have never hunted for money.
Fred, I want to make you a firm offer.
Frank.
Right?
Frank.
Now. Frank, I'm
Frank.
Yeah.
Frank. Bunker Frank.
Frank, it'll work. Frank will work. Yeah.
I thought it was Fred.
No.
You Frank.
Firm offer.
Frank.
Frank. Oh, okay. That's weird. No, that's
I'll be Frank to... with.
Anyhow, this is Mr. Abrams.
This is what happens when our co-host falls off too many horses.
Yeah. Mr. Abrams, I want to make you, I know nobody else has done this, I want to make you a firm offering right now for that. I'll offer you $20. That's going to double your money what you lost.
That's 100% profit. Oh, man.
100%.
Yeah. I'll have to think about it, you know. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to the bank right now and get the loan.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
That's firm offer now. Firm.
Whatever happens to the tintype happens. Okay. I'm writing my book, you know, and even if I showed up places and said, well, I still own this tintype and here it is. I've had offer museums. They want me to donate it to them. Like The big New York museums and all this. They're all like, well, we love your picture. Oh, but there is one thing that's interesting. The State Museum of New Mexico asked me for permission to display a poster of the tintype there. And that was a few years ago. The State Museum of New Mexico asked.
So, Frank, how do you respond to critics who say, no, this ain't Billy the Kid, nor is it Batman?
Yeah, it's almost hilarious. You know, I've met with these people, and they put their arm around me. I've got pictures of people with their arm around me. And they're like, you have such a great tintype. What a wonderful tintype you have. And then they'll have in there an article without talking to me. An article will come out in a magazine or something and say, "There's only supposed to be one Billy the Kid tintype," you know. Or they'll Doc after the writing, and, or they'll do something to cut off Ash's shoulder so you can't see that it's Ash, and all this other stuff. But you know what? I'm okay. You know, then they ask me, like, well, we'd love you to be, you know, part of our organization. You know, a healthy discussion in historical circles is fine by me. Okay, I don't take it personally.
Have you, have you run this past True West magazine?
That's even funny. So Bob calls me when I find, says, what a wonderful Tin Type. Come and meet me, and gosh, what a wonderful Tin Type. So we go out there to Arizona, and I got a picture of Bob, and his arm is around me. You know, we're all together. And then he says something that I'll never forget. He says, we're going to have fun with this. And as we're leaving, I look at my wife. I wonder what he meant. Oh, well, the first article that comes out, he circles the wrong people as being Billy and the other guy. And then he has another article, which actually is was by another author. And that author, his criticism, what he did is he gave the criticism for all these other photos, but then displayed my photo there, which didn't have any of those problems that he was discussing. But then the author said something like, there's only supposed to be one picture of Billy the Kid, you know, according to Pat Garrett. And, you know, whether he said that or not, who knows. But I know this, there is one with Pat and Billy in it, and I've got it. And so they did an article there, and without talking to me. And then the last one was the most hilarious. So my brother Mike and I, Mike's a retired professor of journalism, we show up at, you know, we call Bob, says, come on, show up. So we never travel with the Tin Type. I never travel with the Tin Type, ever. It's always in a safe deposit box. So Mike and I show up, and we meet with Bob, and he greets us. And my brother Mike had brought some Mayhew jelly from Florida, wonderful jelly that, you know, he had, and we talked for a little bit, and then, you know, we said goodbye. Article comes out where they attack all of these other Tin Types and as not being authentic, and of course they attack mine, but the way they attack mine is this. Bob says, and sometimes people show up unannounced, and these two guys showed up with the Tin Types, and he's talking about me and my brother Mike. Now, remember this. I never travel with those Tin Types, ever do I travel with them. In fact, when Bob Stahl, he came to Asheville to look at the Tin Types. Everybody who's seen them, they come to, I don't travel. So Bob basically, so Bob Bozbell goes ahead and does this article, and he says, these guys show up. Sometimes they just show up, and he had Tin Types with him. And, you know, I try to get the corrections done, but, you know, it all comes down to, I think, his statement, we're going to have fun with this or something like that. And it's wild. Bob Cubbin was a good guy, though, too. And Bob, you know, with pictures of Bob, what a great picture you got there, Tin Type. And he put his arms around me, and I got a picture at a Wild West get-together. So if people have an agenda, you know, I can't help that. Mm-hmm. I can't help the agenda. You know, I just go by what the experts say. And once again, you know, people say, well, it's worth the money. Maybe he's hunting for money. Well, I can't say it any better than this. I'm doing all right for myself. Okay. I eat three squares, sometimes even four.
You don't miss a meal. Hey, I've got, this is probably the most important question I'm going to ask you. What is your favorite Billy the Kid movie?
What is it? The Left-Handed Gun with Paul Newman. Billy was not left-handed. No, he was right-handed. It's probably the best.
It's a flip Tin Type.
Yeah. It's a flip Tin. Yeah, they got that wrong, but the movie's all right. You know, I'm a Paul Newman.
Well, I want to recommend one to you if you haven't seen it. It's Harry and mine's favorite Billy the Kid movie. It's Johnny Mac Brown.
Johnny Mac Brown plays Billy the Kid,
And he captures, to me, growing up there with the story and the legend and all that, he captures the essence of what the kid was like.
And you're going to hear about that shortly after these very important messages as we move into our final break here on Abel Franzi's Voices of the West. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Billy, I've got a little present for you. A 25-cent piece I plugged at 20 yards.
I got a little present for you, Pat. A nickel plugged at 30 yards.
Now I've got to go out and ruin a nice, new, shiny 10-cent piece. Good night, everybody.
This is the Voices of the West.
It's time for a pig hoedown. Welcome back to Abel Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Our guest is attorney Frank Abrams. He's got a tintype purported to be of Billy the Kid, Mr. the Kid, and what's his name? Pat Garrett.
Mr. Garrett. Yeah.
Mr. Garrett. I knew who it was.
I was just being funny.
And that clip that we heard was from the movie Billy the Kid, directed by King Vidor. And when was that released? 1940?
No, 39. It was one of the first westerns made with sound.
Yeah, and
maybe the first. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, Johnny Mac Brown plays Billy the Kid. I think it was Wallace Beery, who was Pat Garrett. And
you know what's great is that William S. Hart came out to the set. He brought Billy the Kid's gun that mm-hmm. had been given to him. But there is a still of Johnny Mac Brown doing a crouper mount mm-hmm. off camera. This mm-hmm. was, and Hart is down on the ground coaching him.
Mm. Man.
Yeah.
That, again, Frank, I believe is one of the best, if not the best, Billy the Kid film. And not because I absolutely adore Johnny Mac Brown.
Right.
But because he seemed to encapsulate the...
That spirit.
Well, yeah, thanks, Bunker.
The thing, you know, it's like you say... That, you know, the left-handed gun, I don't like it because it shows a psychotic Billy the Kid. The Billy
right.
the Kid of New Mexico, of mm-hmm. Lincoln County, he was beloved of the Mexican community because he was such fun-loving. He was great to have around, and all the ladies wanted to dance with him.
And the television series that Clue Gulager,
Gulager
played Billy the Kid, and...
that was...
Who was that? That was the tall man.
Barry Sullivan.
Barry Sullivan as Pat Garrett.
He kind of captured it to a degree.
I mean...
Because that's the way Billy the Kid, you know... That he, you know, he wasn't just psychotic. He wasn't a killer. Yeah, he killed people, but, you know, a lot of people back then killed
people.
Right. People, the old code of the West, some people just deserve killing. And you know what? Billy deserved his pardon, too.
Yes,
Billy
he did.
Deserved his part.
He filled his part of the deal.
He fulfilled it. And like you say, that Santa Fe ring, they saw otherwise. Hey.
Yeah. So, Frank, not to try to put you on the spot, but
we like to
do that here, and we relish it. All these, you know, you have a schools of thought that say Billy got away, or Garrett didn't kill him, or Garrett killed the wrong guy, or where is your thought process on that?
I quote Bob Stahl, Dr. Stahl. He said, Frank, there were like 20 people out there who signed that coroner certificate. He said, you think they could all get away with lying? Okay. Yeah, that was Billy who was killed. There's no doubt about it. There's another part about it. This guy, Brushy Bill, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Went Rushy Bill Roberts.
Yeah, he went apoplectic when they tried to question him when he showed up. He
was like 10 years old.
Yeah, and he was like 10 when Billy was killed. And not only that, you look at his face. Look at his ears, for God's sake. I mean, come on. Look at him. It's not the same person. His face is symmetrical. Billy's face was non-symmetrical. Yeah, no.
Brett, okay. I've got a news announcement for you, and you're going to love the Frank. Damn computers. I've got a news announcement for you. Emilio Estevez, see, I said that right.
You did.
Emilio Estevez is starting production on Young Guns 3, and he's talking about a Young Guns 4 and a Young Guns 5.
Wow.
And everybody got killed.
Yeah, and that's the interesting part. I think they had that Dave Rudabaugh portrayed as two different people in Young Gun. You know, it's okay. You know, it's adventure. People get excited about adventure.
Yeah,
but I still to this day don't believe there has really been a truly authentic movie. You know, based on what I've read, made about Billy the Kid. Maybe they'll start with my book.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it should start with a guy walking through a flea market. Guys walking through a flea market who finds a picture and everything he had to go through, and then all the flashbacks of what happened to Billy. I agree with everything you say about Billy. He was a gentleman to the ladies, and there is an argument you could be made that every single person that died at the hands of Billy was somebody who, under the old West Code, needed it or deserved it. Yeah. Yeah, starting with that guy Wendy, who was sitting on top of him in Camp Grant, slapping him in the face when he was a kid, and stuff like that, and then he feels like a gun pushed against him. Well, that was it for Wendy.
We know he was a crap cowboy,
He worked as a swamper out here in Tucson, and they fired him.
Wilcox. Yeah. He worked in Wilcox. Yeah. He got fired from that job. I mean, he was a crap cowboy.
He was a good horse thief and cattle thief.
So that balances out.
On the way home, I'm going to stop at the thrift store.
Okay, look for some tintypes.
There you go.
Frank Abrams, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it very much. Very educational. And do stay in touch with us, my friend, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. What a pleasure and what an honor to be on your show.
Well, thank you.
Anytime. And if you want to invite me back. Oh, by the way, The Cockfight by Frank Abrams. It's out there. Amazon.
Okay.
It's about DNA fraud.
All right.
I wrote a book. It's a bestseller.
All right.
And it's fact-based. It's fact-based, but it's technically it's fiction, but it's all fact-based.
All right.
And it's called The Cockfight. And it is a number one ranked bestseller legal thriller.
All right. Very good.
Had to put that one in there.
There you go. Right. Frank, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it so much.
78, 79. ADOs for all those tintypes that we ain't going to find.
So long, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzing's Voices of the West.